What is up, my friends? Welcome to another episode of Born to Thrive. I'll be your host, Alex, or the Alex Allen on Instagram and TikTok. And this is my podcast where I help you embrace your power and live the life you're meant to live. All right, let's get to it. Today, we have a very important episode because this is something that I think I talk about a lot, and I think a lot of other great coaches talk about a lot, but I think doesn't get the proper marketing or attention that it deserves because it's so unsexy and so unexciting. And it is how you measure progress. Because so often we hyperfixate on the scale. Like that is so normal. Or even before and after photos, that's definitely the big shiny object for so many people because it's something tangible that you can see. And so it almost validates the excitement that we have around certain things. So I get it. I 100% understand it, but it can be so frustrating, especially when we're struggling with yo-yo dieting, or we're kind of hopping on and off different fad diets, or we have maybe some unrealistic expectations for ourselves. Because I know my friend Liz, she's a great example of the fact that a lot of times when we chase very strict fast results, we can end up back where we started or potentially even heavier or looking completely different. And it's obviously not a knock on her. I did the same thing. I went through yo-yo dieting and I gained a lot of weight, lost a lot of weight very quickly in an unhealthy way, and then gained it all back plus more. And it was because I was chasing how small can I get as fast as I can. And I didn't know anything about other signs of progress. I didn't think there was anything else to look at because nobody else explained that to me or highlighted it. And I was also surrounded by a lot of people who that was the celebration. And also, again, like you don't get a lot of compliments for like sleeping better. You don't get a lot of compliments for just seeming happier or having more energy or necessarily even getting stronger in the gym because maybe other people won't notice it to the same extent as your weight loss. And this kind of came up because I do a lot of client calls. And so we'll kind of like just have a discussion about how things are going, focuses for like moving forward, things like that. And whether or not they're working with me or another coach, we obviously talk about things that are going on. And I recently had a conversation with a client who she's lost about 7 pounds in 3 months. And that's actually like a very good rate of progress for her. And I make sure to say that because everyone's starting point is going to be so different. Everyone has a different amount of weight that's like appropriate for them to lose in a realistic time frame. And then also not everyone who comes to us is ready to go on a weight loss journey, which is something I've talked about in kind of explaining our process and kind of earning the right to diet, which is why I'm so like such a big proponent of that. And it was interesting because she would continue to get very hard on herself. And she signed up for a year and she has a lot of time obviously left in the initial like program that she signed up for. And people can always stay with us longer. I always tell them that. And she's like, I feel like I should be making so much more progress. And I'm like, well, why do you think that? And she said that over the holidays, she had seen some of her friends and family and some of them had lost a significant amount of weight and like anywhere from 10 to 20 pounds in a matter of like a couple of months, which is not something I recommend. It's not something I preach. It's not something that I necessarily encourage because again, everyone's so different. Like an example here is that she is, and I am going to use numbers and I say this gently, but like hopefully hearing other people's numbers doesn't trigger you because I think that it should be okay to like hear these things and not feel compelled to mimic it because everyone is so unique and so different. And I think that's such an important thing to work on and be okay with. But she's like 5'7" and she's around like 170 pounds. And that's actually like a very okay number. And again, like for whatever reason, we've misconstrued those things. And so her rate of weight loss is going to be very different than somebody who's maybe 200 plus pounds at like 5'7", just because again, like the more weight you have to lose oftentimes means the faster you can kind of lose weight, especially to start if you're starting from a great place. I just want to like make that clear. But what's interesting is she was comparing herself to people who it sounds like had more weight to lose for one, but also did it in a very unrealistic and fast way, which is super frustrating because that's why these fad diets get so much attention. And that's why so many people fall victim to them. I did the same thing because they prey on your desire for the fast dopamine hits. And there's a lot of ways to track progress beyond the scale. And I haven't heard of any of these programs or any of these diets encouraging that. Like obviously, again, you can lose weight and build muscle at the same time, and the scale could barely move. We've had a ton of clients who have seen incredible body recomposition and the scale has barely moved. And if we had only focused on the scale, they would think that nothing is happening for them. They would think that like, what's the point? What am I doing? But increased energy, improved sleep, better body image, better sex life, positive changes in your relationship with food and exercise, like those are all wins. And a lot of times we don't realize it. I've definitely told the story of one of my other clients where she basically felt a little bit frustrated because we weren't able to go into a dieting phase. We weren't, just from her history, where she was at currently with her calories, things like that. She could not start in a dieting phase. So we started her in phase one, which is earning the right to diet. Meaning basically we're getting your calories up. We're making sure that your movement's appropriate. She had started from about 1400 calories a day and was working out 7 days a week, doing cardio and weightlifting every single day. And so we basically like cut out all cardio, not because I hate cardio, but because she shouldn't have been doing it at that low calorie amount. And then also brought her training down to kind of optimize it a little bit more and focus more on like appropriate progressive overload and things like that. And it was interesting because she didn't gain weight. Like I didn't expect her to. We were doing it in a very strategic and thoughtful way to try to like minimize it, which I can't guarantee that obviously every single time, but we're trying to minimize it. And when she started to kind of look at the progress that she's made, she would keep saying, well, the scale hasn't moved. The pictures had changed. And also her relationship with food was night and day. Because she was able to now go out with her family and actually enjoy her meals with them and like share food with them instead of feeling like she had to get just chicken and broccoli when she went out to a restaurant. And like she told me multiple stories of how they like went out to Indian food and how before that she would have been terrified because she couldn't really control everything. And then similarly, she's actually, so this has now progressed since that initial story that I had shared, and she is now about to get married. And she told me on our call recently, because she was like, well, it's an all-inclusive resort and I don't really know what I'm going to eat there. And I'm like, do you want to try new foods while you're there? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, great, do it. She's like, well, I don't want to waste food. And I was like, okay, like just to put it in perspective. And I'm like, I'm not encouraging you to waste food either or order a bunch of stuff that you don't want. Obviously, like maybe talk to them, be like, can I have like some taste testers of these different things? But if you do get food and you do get full, and you feel like you have to force feed yourself to clean your plate, if you force feed yourself to eat it, that food is going to waste no matter what. It is. And no, this is not some like play of like, it's going to your waste or something. It's going to waste because you're literally hurting yourself because of guilt that may have been pushed on you from your family. I know my parents, they did the best they could with the information they had. We always have to acknowledge that. But they definitely were like the clean plate club. Like you don't get to get up or you don't get to have dessert or you don't get to do these things until your plate's clean. And then eventually they got to a point where it was interesting. They did change as they went on just naturally. And they were like, oh, we can just put stuff in a container. And like, I'd say that now too. Like people think I'm like crazy because I will have like the smallest amount of food, like maybe 5 bites or something left, which is a decent amount actually, but I'll have like 5 bites of food left and I will save it and I'll like eat it later. Like a good example is I just went to Cava and I think I had like 3, maybe 4 spoonfuls left of like the bowl that I had. And I just kept it. And then I threw it in with like a mix of like eggs and stuff. Cause I try my best not to waste food. That's just me. I don't, whatever you do, you do. But I don't know. That's how I am. I don't find leftovers gross. Anyways. So the point that I'm making here though, is we kind of had that conversation about going on to the wedding and going to this all-inclusive resort. And then she kind of like circled back eventually as we had those conversations. And she was like, you know, I don't think I would have been able to actually enjoy my wedding if I didn't work with you. And that was such a beautiful moment, like selfishly for me, but then also like for her. Because like, this is the most important day of your life. One of them. And you wouldn't have been able to just go and enjoy yourself and eat this yummy food. Like, it's a once in a lifetime experience for a lot of people, maybe not for everyone, but for a lot of people. And diet culture, this is exactly what I hate. Diet culture has taught us that we can't enjoy those moments, that you're wrong for doing that, that you're a bad person, that you're ruining your diet, that all your progress is going to go away, when that's just not true. And there is a big deception of fad diets. And like, this is the point that I wanted to get to, which is basically there are hidden agendas, which sounds a little bit crazy. It does. But it's like they set unsustainable restrictions. So every single fad diet out there creates an initial weight loss followed by inevitable rebound. It is almost impossible. Like if you see it, I think it's about 90% of people who do any sort of fad diet gain the weight back. Like that is a terrible percentage of people who gain the weight back plus more, because it's creating unrealistic and unsustainable restrictions. Like most diets tell you to cut out specific food groups. Like again, like keto tells you not to eat carbs. Low carb obviously tells you to eat minimal, clean eating, or paleo tells you not to eat processed foods. And so it's like there's a million examples. I'm not just choosing those, but there's a million, even Optavia, like it's a good example because we have a lot of clients who come from Optavia and like they give you kind of like your meals and basically they're heavily restricting your calorie intake, which is unrealistic and unreasonable. And this is exactly why we don't do meal plans. And any great registered dietitian, we're not allowed to anyways. Like we don't have a registered dietitian on our team anyways, but even a great registered dietitian will not give you a meal plan because it does not help you. They maybe give you one to start and then they'll kind of work with you to better understand how to create your own, maybe, but it's like, it doesn't educate you on how to properly fuel your body and understand portion control and things like that. It just teaches you to rely on a meal plan and then have no autonomy for yourself. Also, every single fad diet ignores individual needs. This is why one person may have a lot of success, like Aunt Jane. Maybe she has a great time doing keto, and then she sees a fantastic result from it. And she's like, I don't really like carbs anyways, so I'm never going to eat them. So it works for her. And then you try it because you're like, oh, wow, Jane had a great time. Let me try it. And then you try it and then you're like, this is terrible. I miss carbs. I love them, all these things. And so it's so important to recognize that just because it works for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And I think that is so hard to remember. And I think that it's so preyed on by these fad diets, which is so frustrating. And so they also just focus so much on like prioritizing profits over sustainable outcomes, because for them too, if you fail, they get more money because they have basically set it up where you get results, you feel like a winner, you get these dopamine hits, but then when you inevitably fall off, it seems like it's your fault because you just couldn't be disciplined enough. You just didn't try hard enough. Whereas it's actually the diet's fault because it's like you followed the really rigid rules that were really unsustainable that they had promised you. And then you're suddenly like, oh my gosh, I can't stay up with this. And then you fall off and then you go back on it later because you're like, well, I initially got the results. There are so many examples of people who do the diet over and over and over and over again because they're like, okay, cool. Like it worked for me. I'm just going to do it again. If you have to do a diet over and over and over and over again, it is not the right thing for you to be doing. It isn't. And so we need to recognize that there are so many considerations when it comes to how we can be successful and how we can measure our progress. Because as human beings, as humans, we are basically designed to crave almost short-term satisfaction, like, because we basically look at the dopamine hits. Like, it is so common and normal because, like, that is just a human instinct to, like, want those dopamine hits because they make us feel great. Whenever we finish a task, we get that dopamine hit. Whenever we, like, check off the to-do list, we get a dopamine hit. Whenever we see that scale move down, we get a dopamine hit. There's so many, even when you sign up for coaching, like, this is one of the tough conversations that I have with people when they first sign up is I'm like, you're getting your dopamine hit right now. I know you're super excited. That is the major dopamine hit that you're going to get right now. Because we are not the fad diets. We are not the quick results. We are not the overnight success. We are the long-term sustainable results. And so that initial dopamine of excitement is going to go down. And the better you can understand that, the easier it's going to be, actually the more simple it's going to be for you to believe me and to keep it up. Because it's really not, we try to find other ways to give you like dopamine hits too. I want to make that clear. But like, we are designed as human beings to like crave the dopamine. And if we don't get it, we're going to get bored. Similarly, we also have a negativity bias. So as human beings, we tend to gravitate towards more negativity. Like that's just, it's a fact. And so I think it's like for every positive thought, we have like 7. I'm making up a number here. I heard it. I should have written it down. So I had a real number for you guys, but I'm pretty sure it's like close to that. We have like 7 negative thoughts. And it's understandable. It is. Again, this is just like what we as human beings are kind of designed for. And so it's so easy as human beings to be like, again, like the example that I gave of the other client is like, she was seeing weight loss. She was seeing changes in her physical appearance. And then she felt like she was still not making any progress when that just wasn't true. Every single week she was making great progress. But because we are typically looking for the things wrong, we have to train our brains to reframe it. We do. We also are very much geared towards instant gratification. And that's not just because of the diet culture or anything in like social media and stuff now. Like we are. It's again, it kind of feeds into that dopamine that I was talking about anyways. But it's like we are geared towards that. And so we are basically... like this is something else that I tell people all the time, like on a phone call is like, if you want to join our team, if you want to be on this journey, if you want to make sustainable long-term change, you have to be ready to do something that you've never done before. Because we're not going to get you immediate results. Does that mean you're not going to start already making changes and working towards your goals, things like that? No. But we're not going to feed into your instant gratification. We're not going to exploit your insecurities or promise unrealistic results. Some of the hardest conversations I have with clients or like potential clients is I tell them, hey, your goals actually probably are going to take closer to a year, maybe more. We have some clients who start with us for like 3 months. It's rare. I usually say 6 to start. Because we're unlearning years of diet culture and we're expecting that to happen in 3 months. But most people are with us for bare minimum 18 months, not because we're not getting them results, not because we're not helping them, but because even they realize they need more support because we're unlearning all those things. But it's hard. It's unsexy. Your long-term commitment. Like even just thinking about it for a year. And like, this is always so important too, because it's again, like we will do fad diets for like our 3-month goal that we have and get really excited about it. And that can actually push you farther away from you having long-term sustainable progress. And in a long-term program, you're going to learn more. And that way you don't have to pay somebody for the rest of your life to have success. You're going to form better habits that make you feel great on a day-to-day basis, not just in the moment. You'll actually get your results and be able to keep them. And again, like I know it can be hard because again, the kind of stuff that I mentioned of how we kind of stand in our own way when it comes to like the negative self-talk, even just self-sabotage as a whole. We are very geared towards that. Not everyone, and it can be in different realms and things. Like we see it in relationships. We see it in just so many different facets of life. And it's like, there's procrastination. People put off doing things. I'm going to say the right way. Maybe that's not the best way of putting it, but people put off doing things the sustainable way because their fear of change outweighs the fear of staying the same. And you can do a fad diet where you've already proven to yourself over and over again, it hasn't worked for you. But people will stay in that. People stay in toxic relationships all the time. Like people are more comfortable in, like you are basically ingraining in your brain, I know what the outcome's going to be, so I feel safer that way. Like how wild does it sound when we say things like that? I know I've lost 30 pounds doing this diet, but I've always gained it back. But I'd rather keep doing that over and over again than give myself a year and just stick it out. Because I know it's going to at least get me the instant results. Same thing with, like, again, the relationships. People will stay in these really toxic relationships instead of leaving because they don't know what it's going to be like to be on their own. It sounds a little crazy when you say it out like that, like out loud like that. You're not crazy. You're a human being. But if you can identify that, like identify the self-sabotage, identify the moments where you're putting off your change, you're delaying your action because of your fear or your resistance to change, you can make progress. You can. And again, it's like, I just don't want people developing unhealthy or restrictive or guilt-ridden associations with food, because you're going to eat no matter what. You are. It just hurts your self-esteem and it just makes you feel like you're just doing all of the wrong things. And so it's like the clients that I've mentioned. And also there's even more. I know I've mentioned one of my other clients multiple times where she's been with us for a year now, which is crazy because on our first call, she told me that she never sticks with anything longer than 2 months. She'd been with other coaches multiple times and every single time the 2 month mark off. And I was like, okay, give us 6 and then we'll see how it goes. And we can reassess. Again, she's with us for a year now. And she's like, I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me for a while. And I was like, all right. And in that time together, she has lost close to 35 pounds. In a year, again, like that sounds so unsexy to so many people. But if you just heard our clients lost 35 pounds, you'd be like, oh, that's so cool. And then I say a year, a lot of people are like, wow, that's so long. Or they still think it's cool. But then I'm like, could you do it? Because our approach was super unsexy. It started out with 3 days in the gym. Basically, and like a lot of times when she first started, she was like, this feels like a lot. I feel like kind of like nervous. I feel a little scared. And I was like, cool. Don't do the whole workout. Stop when you feel like it. Do some of it. Do as much as you feel like doing. And then just leave. She's like, oh, I can do that. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Something's better than nothing. She had gone from not working out at all to working out. So I was like, cool. That's a win. And then we also kind of started to incorporate daily walks and things. And so she went from maybe getting like 4,000 steps a day to about 8,000. It depends on the increase for everybody. I think that's so important to know, but she got this increase and I was like, cool, that's awesome. That's way better than nothing. And then for nutrition, she was like, you know, I really don't like tracking macros. Cool. You don't have to. Let's just log your food. I just need to know roughly what you're eating, so I know where we can have opportunities to add. As always, focus, have what you want, add what you need. So we focused on that and we were like, cool. Can we like kind of optimize this just a little bit? Cause there's a lot of snacking happening. It's probably leaving you feeling a little bit more hungry in the day. So let's try doing 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. She's like, okay, easy enough. And I was like, cool. And then we kind of talked about how to balance the plates of like, hey, protein at every meal, things like that. And lo and behold, those small acts had her consistently making progress for about 9 months. And then she wanted to change. She was like, can we actually like maybe get a little bit more specific about my nutrition? can we maybe like go to the gym a little bit more? So now she's going four times a week and she loves it. And she started to naturally want to change. It didn't happen overnight. The dopamine hits that we focused on, were celebrating the small wins. It was being kind to herself and recognizing that something's better than nothing. And we were focusing on progress, not perfection. When I say it like that, it sounds so easy. But especially like doing it on your own, it can be the most difficult thing in the world. Because again, we focus on all the things wrong. We hear all the chatter from the outside. I'm not saying that you can just shut it off. I'm not expecting you to now recognize, okay, I'm gonna see if my sleep gets better. I'm gonna see if my energy gets better, all these things. I do like highly recommend tracking those things. That's exactly why we do it with our clients and stuff. But I'm not suggesting that you're gonna magically be able to change, because again, like I just said, we have clients who are with us for a year, year and a half, even longer. I've had clients who are still with me after like 4 years, and they just like it, which I appreciate a lot. But it's like, you have spent maybe 2, 5, 10 plus years in diet culture, either from society, from your family, from friends, from your own research. If you've spent years doing things one way, you cannot expect to unlearn and change everything in 1 month, in 2 months, in 6. Again, it's the same thing with even like weight gain. We don't gain weight overnight. We don't. It happens over an accumulation of time. So if it took us maybe years to get to where we are now, why are we expecting that it should only take 3 months for us to get to where we want to be and actually be able to maintain it? Right now, whatever habits you have are probably a correlation to how you feel on a day-to-day basis, on how you show up on a day-to-day basis. And again, depending on if you have aesthetic goals, you don't have to, but how you also look. If your habits don't align with changing, you have to now create all new habits. And as always, like, I'm never saying that you should focus on weight loss. That's definitely not the goal of this. It's actually kind of the opposite. I feel like you should focus on other things. When this, like, if your actions on a day-to-day basis align with just feeling your best, getting stronger in the gym, getting in some movement, making sure you're well-fed and making sure the meals are well-balanced. Like, that's the thing that all these diets don't focus on. It's like, are you getting enough protein? Are you eating enough vegetables? Are you going on walks daily? Like, this is the last example I'll give, and then we'll kind of, I know it's been talking for a while, but it's like one of my other clients, when she was on Optavia, she was literally told not to work out. How crazy does that sound? You're told not to work out and you're on a fitness journey. And you want to know why? Because they're starving you. Like, that is the reason. You don't have enough fuel to recover. And they know that and they don't care. You know what I said? We need you to eat and we need you to lift heavy. And guess what started happening? She started to lose weight and she started to feel better. Started to have more energy. She was actually able to push herself in a workout. She was actually recovering well. That's the, like, it's so unsexy. It's so unsexy to be like, I got strong as all get out. Or my energy's really good on a day-to-day basis. Like, people hear that and they're like, that's really cool. Or even like, actually, we have so many clients who obviously their menstrual cycles get so much better. So many. Because they're actually eating enough for proper body function. They're moving in an appropriate way. They're healing. So again, like, it's so important to recognize that you unlearning and changing the habits, the mindset, everything that's going on is going to take time. It is. Because it's taking you a lot of time to get to where you are now. Do your best to track progress in a more thoughtful, long-term, cohesive way. And as always, don't be a dick, especially to yourself, and I'll see you in the next one.